This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are as White Fat Chicks.
And we're at 5 Points Mall?
Yes.
Yes. It's Boxing Day, and we were looking for a quiet place to record, and by God, that's hard to find.
Boxing Day for our American friends is like the Black Friday.
It's a day where you go out and you hit people in Canada. No, it's not really.
Biff Sock!
Yes, and bad Batman sound effects come out. No. At least Sheila said, it's like Black Friday. It was traditionally a day when... Wasn't it when you gave gifts to your servants?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess you give them a box. I don't know. But
yeah.
Boxing Day. Here's your box of stuff. Thanks for being my servant for the year.
It's a British holiday.
Yeah.
And I think they actually observe it in Australia as well.
Yes. Well, it's written on American calendars. We just don't pay any attention to it because that's a shopping day to us. But it's a shopping day up here, and it's a little bit crazy up here. So
It's another special day.
The day after Christmas.
Which is?
The 26th of December.
Which is?
5 days before the end of the year.
Oh, my birthday!
It's Sheila's birthday. She's old today. So everybody can say happy birthday, Sheila. Yeah, we're a week apart. It's a heck of a holiday season for us between my birthday, her birthday, Christmas, and New Year's. So we're really busy right now, which is why the podcasts are going up a little bit late, because we weren't too ahead of the game like we should have been. But anyway,
right.
So we wanted to talk about a couple things. We've been to a place downtown that's really, really awesome. We've been there a couple times now, and we really wanted to give it its own special spotlight in an episode.
Yeah.
It's called Pete's Open Kitchen, and it's on Simcoe Street.
Yep. It's I'll post the address.
Okay.
It's across the street from Honest Way.
I can't think of another landmark. It's on Simcoe Street going towards...
It's in between King and Bond, isn't it?
King and Bond, I think so. We'll put the address up. It's really not far from the library and the municipal buildings downtown. If you go there, there is a parking lot in the back. I don't know if you can park there, though.
Because
we walk through it all the time, but we always walk over. And there's on-street parking, which it's really not bad to find a parking space downtown in Oshawa. Even during the day, we usually have pretty good luck. So just if you're parking downtown, remember to take some change with you or have a credit card on you so you can stick it in the little machine and get the tag to put in your windshield.
Mm.
So Pete's Open Kitchen has a door in the front and the back.
Yep.
So you can come in through the back way through that giant parking lot area or through the front. It's a decently sized little place. I figure, you could have 40, 50 people sitting in
there. There's probably about 25 tables in there.
Yeah. It's a good size. It's perfect for the lunch rush. And that's what the place is. It's a lunch restaurant.
Yeah.
They're open from 7
in the morning until 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah, and that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I don't remember the Saturday hours. And I know they're closed Sunday.
Yeah.
So I left a little slip of paper at home with it written down.
I'll post it. It's okay.
Okay. This place is... I've never been anything like it. You walk in and it's almost cafeteria style, but it isn't.
It reminds me of the, like, lunch counters of the 1940s, kind of.
There's no seats against the counter, though. I guess that's where it ends.
Yeah. I mean, instead of having the lunch counter, it has a place for you to slide your tray along. Well, if you order a salad, you tell them how you want it made. Then you slide it down to Pete Station, the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Get your stuff garnished the way you want.
You go to the register first, and you order there, and then you go down, like Sheila said, through all the little stations. It's almost like assembly line food.
Yeah.
It's really
not
cool.
Quite a one-man show, because he does have somebody on salads and somebody on cash.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you first walk in, too, and you get either by the back door or to the register, there'll be a big chalkboard up. And the regular menu's up on the wall with written in chalk on a giant chalkboard, but the one by the register will have their specials. And they have two kinds of specials. They have the one that's just, hey, order this, it's a little cheaper today, combined with fries or something. And then they have the limited time only today specials.
Yeah, like, I had a lot of this ingredient, so look, I'm making this.
Or rather, I decided I wanted to do this today.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like it's what I wanted to do, or I felt like making this kind of thing. We don't know his reasoning behind it, but what we do know is they're supposed to be really, really good. Rick usually gets the specials when he's there. And we missed out the last time we went on the shepherd's pie. We were there too late. And apparently the shepherd's pie was awesome, so hopefully we'll make it there again and catch his shepherd's pie. But it's usually something hot and cooked every day, and they also do a cold special. Cold salads, too, frequently.
And there's also alternating really big pies.
Yes.
It's like, sometimes it's a fruit pie, sometimes it's a savory pie with, like, spinach and mushrooms in it.
But they're really big pies.
Yeah.
So you have to get there early for the really big pies.
They're usually gone by the time we get there.
Yes, we will make it early at some point. And they're open for breakfast, and they do an all-day breakfast.
Yeah.
It's $4.99, and it's your standard pick-your-meat, eggs, toast, potatoes with it. I really want to get it. I want to try his home fries. Because the rest of his food's amazing. The home fries must kick your butt.
We've actually managed to order something different each time we've been there.
Because
the first time we were there, I ordered barbecue pulled pork, and it was really good. And you ordered, was it cheeseburger?
Because the reason we went the first time is Rick told us he found a place that he thought made better burgers than Mr. Burger. And we both looked at him skeptically and said, okay, bring it on.
Yes.
Because we are fangirls for Mr. Burger. And I have to say, Pete's Burger is darn good.
It is.
It's, I have to put it in the same category with Mr. Burger. I don't think I could say one's better than the other because they're both really good. Because they're different, too. His is a different kind of burger.
Yeah.
But they're both awesome. And I was impressed. And then the next time we went, I got the, chicken souvlaki in a pita.
Oh, yeah. And I got, do you remember what I got?
You had the roast beef sandwich with the mustard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it kicked butt.
Mm-hmm. And the chicken souvlaki. Souvlaki is just a meat on a skewer that's been seasoned and grilled over some kind of flame. That's the technical, basic, generic definition of it. His was really good. The chicken was just, it wasn't dried out. I've had some souvlakis that are kind of, they tend to dry out because usually you cook them ahead of time and then you overcook them again to heat them up. His was perfect. Juicy. The seasonings weren't overpowering. There's a tendency with souvlaki to go a little crazy with some of that, and it just a perfect balance.
Yeah.
And his tzatziki sauce was really good.
Yeah, all the sauces seem like they're homemade to me. Because he doesn't have, like, a bottle with a name on it. It's like a plastic container.
Yeah.
Like a kitchen container.
Yeah, but he whipped out the Dijon mustard for yours, and you're like, ew. So, and then Rick had the steak on a bun.
Yeah.
And the steak on the bun, he whips out a steak and puts it on his grill where he's cooking.
That's like what? It's like a 6-ounce steak?
It looked at least like a 6-ounce steak. And it smells so good when it's cooking. You're standing there watching it over this open flame. You're like, oh my God, I wish I'd ordered that.
Yeah. He's got like the Swiss Army knife kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
He's got like a griddle, a grill, a stovetop, an oven, a salamander, a deep fryer.
Oh, he has a killer grill back there too, which isn't really back there. It's in front where you can see everything while he's cooking as you're going along the little tray slide, and it's flame.
Yeah.
There's honest to God, he's cooking your food with fire, which is what makes the grilled stuff so good. But then he pulls the steak off for the sandwich, and he starts to slice it on the bias, you know, against the grain, so you get those nice soft nibbly bits. And he cooks it to order. He asks if you want it rare, medium, or well done, and
he'll cook it however you want.
However you want it, and it's just mouthwatering every time you watch him cut it. I'm like, oh, I should have got that. It's one we'll have to get next time, I think.
And then while you're watching him prepare your food, you look to the right on the wall, and there's his diplomas from where he was trained at the CIA, the Cooking Institute of America.
He's a cooking spy. No.
Do do do.
And also, I meant to add with the steak sandwich, after he slices it all up, he makes this, like, little almost Jenga tower on your bun.
Because
there's so much to cram on this decently sized bun, but there's just so much steak after he's cut it. It looks like a game of Jenga. You pull one piece of meat out and the whole thing will collapse on you. It's
bite very carefully.
The fries are cooked to order as you go down, too. They're not, you know, pre-made in a little bin with a heat lamp on. I mean, everything, he's all about fresh ingredients.
Yeah.
He makes everything with love and with a lot of skill.
Yeah.
So, hands down, one of the best places I've ever been to for lunch, period.
It's a great little place.
Yes.
And I'm so glad it's there. It's nice to see a local place like that.
Well, it's nice to see some place that focuses on lunch with that kind of quality.
Yeah.
Because
usually lunch is just wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Yes.
Get out the door and thanks for the cash.
Exactly. And you don't get to see some place where somebody has the skill and the drive to do that kind of food just for lunch. Because lunch is kind of, it's lunch.
Mm.
You know, you don't care. It's fast. You have 30 minutes. You cram it in your face and you run down the street or something. But totally worth it. If you're downtown for any reason, we've already given you a couple good suggestions. That's one you don't want to miss it. If you work downtown, that's a place to go at the office some afternoon.
Great. Now, if you do only have half an hour for lunch, you might want to call ahead.
Mm-hmm.
We'll provide the phone number and order your stuff so it's ready to go. Because otherwise...
Do they do phone orders ahead?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Because I know they gave the number to Rick because he was being a smart butt about, hey, how do I know what the specials are? Which we would recommend if you're looking for a specific special like the shepherd's pie, you could call ahead and find out, hey, or what's the special today? What are you guys doing for lunch?
Well, I just know that Rick gets an hour for lunch and both times that we've gone. We haven't
about
like
40 minutes
gone over, but you definitely want a little bit of extra time because it's a popular place. Everything is made to order, so it does take a little bit longer.
Yes.
It's not slam down the food kind of thing.
But it's worth the wait.
It is. It is so worth the wait.
But if you're downtown on a Saturday, check it out, hit lunch then.
The prices are awesome too.
Oh,
especially for the quality and the portion that you're getting.
Yeah, you're really looking at, with a drink, around $10 a person.
Yeah.
Maybe a touch more depending what you get, maybe a touch less, but you're really, it's worth what you pay and then some. Because if you went someplace that had that quality of food for dinner, you would pay a lot more.
Yeah.
I would, at least I would.
Yeah.
I would imagine for the steak sandwich, you would pay closer to $12-$13 a sandwich. Not that I want to give Pete any ideas, you know, don't raise your prices because we love them where they are, but, and then,
it's a good deal for what you're getting.
It, definitely. And we got a special treat when we were there. We got to try Pete's mom's baklava.
Oh my.
Well, first we want to thank the lady for giving birth to Pete because he made such an awesome restaurant and he makes such awesome food.
And then secondly, we want to thank you for making great baklava.
Oh my god. And he told us what she puts between the layers besides just the nuts and the phyllo dough and the filling. She puts something else down and he used a Greek name for it. And it's like a noodly thing.
He said that would be a substitute for
nuts.
For nuts.
Yeah, I thought there was something
else
she
puts. Because Rick couldn't have it because he's allergic to nuts.
But I thought there was something else she puts between the layers too.
There might be.
And it adds a different texture. It was perfect. It was soft but crunchy and flaky. It was really, it was sweet but not
it wasn't
overpowering sweet.
Sweet.
Exactly.
And there was like a big cinnamon punch to it. It wasn't like overspiced, but it had a big cinnamon flavor to it.
It had awesome spice notes, I guess. I don't
yeah.
know. Well, treat it like a wine.
Well, not many people put that much cinnamon in their baklava, if they put any in
all. I don't
all.
Even know if it was cinnamon or if there was another blend of spices in there that we
maybe.
Just are assuming tasted like cinnamon, but it was good. And my big complaint with baklava, and I love baklava, is that it sometimes is too sweet.
Yeah, it's too rich.
Yeah, and hers wasn't.
I could have eaten slice after slice after slice
yes.
of it.
And Sheila usually stops at one piece because it's just too rich for her.
Yeah.
So really, really good baklava. So if you're down there and there's baklava on the dessert menu, and if it's Pete's mom made it, get a couple extra pieces to take home because you're going to crave it later on.
So he's a super nice guy, too.
Oh, really
sweet
guy.
The staff is always friendly. He's funny because he seems like he's like a quiet guy, but then he totally effed with Tracy.
Not the two smart mouths ahead of me that were
nope.
being rowdy. No, no. It was the quiet one who was standing there minding her own business. But that's okay. So
it adds charm to the place.
Yes. 100% portion size. I would give it a solid, on the errands scale of 1 to 5, where a normal person would be full, errands full to 5, I would say it's a solid 5.
Yeah.
It's just really big portions. We're usually stuffed to the gills every time we've been there.
That's why we had never ordered dessert.
You don't have room.
You don't have room.
I mean, if you're going to plan on dessert, maybe get something without fries.
Get something to take home.
Yeah, or only eat half your sandwich and, you know,
and take
the rest
home.
Yeah, but totally worth it.
And they take cash debit?
Debit. I didn't know if they'd
I'm not sure
Visa
if they take
or
card
not.
Or not.
I think it's only cash and debit, so. Good stuff. Anything else
Yay.
You want to add about Pete's? Because I've got something I can springboard off of there.
Sure,
that I'd
go
like
ahead.
To talk about, too. I was web surfing on Slate this past week around Christmas time, and I found a really cool article about fruitcake. And then I really liked what she wrote, and I went, Sarah Dickerson, I think it is.
Okay.
And I went and started web surfing around looking for more stuff by her because she writes for Slate. She's an editor for a magazine out in Seattle, a food magazine. And I found an old article she wrote for Slate back in 2005. And it made me think of people like Pete. And it was an article about how bad of an idea that gloves are when in the world, in the culinary world.
Oh, yeah.
And it really made me think a lot because she's right on so many points. That one, cooks depend, really good cooks, depend on their tactile senses.
Yeah.
It's not just sight and smell. There's a lot of touch involved. And when you put a glove on, you're really taking away a lot of the sensitivity that trained chefs and cooks have developed to know when things are right in a certain way.
Well, look at how you can tell if a steak's done. That's mm-hmm. all by touch. The firmer it is, the more well done it is.
Yes.
Maybe that's why people are getting a lot more well done steaks than they're asking for, mm-hmm. because people are having to wear gloves.
Yes.
And I mean, I'm all about food sanitation.
Mm-hmm.
Wash your damn hands. Wash them often.
Yeah. Well, that was another point that she brought up in this awesome article was that she actually won an award for the article, I think.
Hmm.
It was one of the Charles Beard's Awards in journalism for
oh, okay.
a food article. But another great point she mentions is that it's almost like a false sense of security because people have the gloves on, that they aren't changing their gloves as often, and they're being careless with their food safety because they think the gloves are protecting them.
Like scratching and itching.
Yes. Whereas if your hands were bare, you would scratch your nose or your butt or your head, and then you'd say, oh, I need to go wash my hands, or you'd handle some money, and then you go wash your hands right away with the gloves.
Yeah.
You have that false sense of security, and you don't go do
I
that.
I can't count how many times I've been to, like, fast food places where they take your money with their gloved hands
mm-hmm.
and then go make your food.
Yeah.
And you're like screaming on the inside,
and
what are you doing?
And we never used gloves when I worked at Burger King, because this was before the big push for the glove safety thing.
Well, you can't
and
use gloves in a place that's frying anyways, because
yeah.
the gloves will melt to your hand.
Well, they still make people do it, depending on where you are.
Jeez.
Yeah, but it's I never used gloves, and I was always hyper careful.
Mm-hmm.
If I touched anything that wasn't back in my food station, if I was working in the back, I went and hit the sinks or the sanitizer, and I was still using sanitizer all over the place just to
yeah.
make sure, even if I was only touching food every once in a while, I just re-sanitized my hands in case I touched under the counter and I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
But people with gloves aren't really doing that. So it made a lot of good points. We'll put the link up to the article. I'll dig it back up. But it was watching Pete work, and he doesn't work with gloves because
he's
a professional.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have to. And it makes me I'm very glad to see that he's not trying to use gloves when he works. Now, if you're so squeamish that the idea of dead skin cells bothers you enough that you don't want people touching your food, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You just don't want to eat out, period. Because at some point, somewhere in the process, someone's touched your food to make it.
Well, I'm just trying to think of, like, the people that cannot stand the thought of somebody having touched their food. It's like, they're touching other food. If they touched anything else, they're washing their hands.
Exactly.
They're professionals. They care about the quality of their food, especially if they're the owner of the place.
Yeah.
You know, they care about their craft. I mean, I can't even imagine a sushi chef wearing gloves.
And that was another
that
comment.
Breaks my brain.
That was another point that she made in the article. She's like, how could a sushi chef work with gloves? It would be impossible. People were willing to pay obscene amounts of money for sushi, but yet they're all squeamish about going to Subway and the workers aren't wearing gloves.
Yeah.
And that makes perfect sense. Well, I love that. Well, not perfect sense, but it's a great point to make.
Yeah.
That if you're okay with a sushi chef not using gloves, how about backing off and letting the local pub that you order your pub grub at, who cares if they're using gloves?
As long as they're washing their hands, that's all I care about. And I don't know much about the health code in other places, but I know in Ontario and in West Virginia too, and it probably goes the same for PA, they have to have a sink right by in the kitchen area so that they can wash their hands.
Yeah.
You have to have a sink in the kitchen.
Yeah.
They can't run back to the bathroom and do it.
No.
There has to be a sink available for the employees to wash their hands.
And it always made me feel so foolish when I, again, worked in fast food, because I'd go to the bathroom, and then they had the big sign up about how employees have to wash their hands. And I'd look at it and go, oh, God. Because I'd wash my hands there, so everybody in the restaurant could see me do it if they were in the bathroom.
Yeah.
But then when we got back into the kitchen
you'd
I had to wash
hands
my hands again. And I felt so silly. I'm like, why can't I just go to the kitchen and wash my hands there once and not dry my skin out further? But you had to do it, because if people didn't see you wash your hands, they'd freak out.
Yeah.
Not realizing that, you know, we have a sink in the back, and that way I'm not touching the door of the filthy bathroom and then going into the kitchen and handling food. I'm going to wash them again. So
right.
It just made me feel kind of foolish and, like I said, dried my skin out.
Yeah. Well, and your hands are already taking a beating anyways, working in a kitchen.
Yeah. I was mortal enemies with the tomato slicer, so I had a few run-ins with that.
One of my professors in college that was a chef, he was Irish, and he said that when he learned how to cook, the chef that he was apprenticed underneath made him peel sweetbreads. Because I guess there's like this weird skin on it.
Yes.
Because they're all bumpy, and he'd cut himself a bunch of times, and then he'd make him peel lemons to make him be more careful when he was peeling the sweetbreads.
Aw, that's horrible.
That's pretty sadistic, but I guess it makes you extra careful and work on your knife skills that much faster.
There is a look of horror on my face right now, too. This is one of the times where if this were a video podcast, it would be more entertaining, probably.
I'd have to throw a laugh track on.
Yeah. So, anyway, I was really impressed with this article, and I wanted to bring it up because Pete's Kitchen is completely uber sanitary, because you can see everything that's going on right in front of you, and you get to see a professional while he works, which is really cool to watch somebody do what he does really well, really fast, because he does slam stuff out of there pretty fast.
He's efficient. I mean, the food has to cook, so there's moments when he's standing around, looking around, checking everything.
But he's always moving around,
doing something, so it's not like he's ever not doing anything.
Mm-hmm. And it was pretty cool at the end of the day. We were there kind of later in the afternoon, around 2-ish, so he starts his prep work for the next day, and he opens up the convection oven and crams a turkey in it. We're like,
and I'm like, oh my God, did he just put a turkey in there?
And we look at the menu, and we're like, there's no turkey on the menu. I bet tomorrow's special is going to be turkey.
Yeah.
So, to add on to this.
I don't think so. Pizza Open Kitchen.
Yes.
Awesomely awesome. Wash your hands.
Frequently.
Down with gloves.
It's like Alton Brown, you know, every episode, wash those dirty hands. So.
Yes.
And it's the same thing. And don't be so squeamish about going out if you don't see people using gloves. It's probably to your benefit if they're not using them.
Yeah.
I mean,
let the professionals do their job.
Sheila's told me a few stories that aren't really horror stories of places she's worked where people aren't really good about changing their gloves. And it's not deliberate, it just slips their mind.
Yeah, and then you see people that are just filthy anyways that shouldn't be working there, and they get fired.
Yes. Well, you've never had any really bad horror stories to tell me from places you've worked.
Just that one chick that she was wearing gloves, and she inappropriately scratched herself pretty intimately, and then continued making food. And I looked her straight in the eye, I grabbed the food, threw it out, and said, wash your hands. Don't ever do that again. You don't scratch and then touch people's food. That's just not the way we do things around here.
Exactly. Well, I'm done. This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Survive Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening.
So this is us again, because we forgot something else yet again. I know by looking at some of the stats on Podbean that the majority of our listeners get the episodes via iTunes, which is awesome, because I love getting podcasts on iTunes, too. It's easy and simple, and all you do is load it up.
You never miss an episode.
Yeah, you load it up, and it automatically downloads it when there's a new one. And I know that the people who use iTunes may be missing out on some of the content that we put up. Because Sheila, every time we do this, she puts up tons of the links about what we talk about, so you can find some of the things we've talked about. You don't have to go hunt it down yourself online. And everything that she puts up on the Podbean site as an entry, almost like a blog entry, does show up on iTunes. And if you're really savvy, you may be listening to this and saying, yeah, Tracy, we know, stop treating us like we're an idiot. Or if you're not really iTunes savvy, maybe you'll appreciate the information. But when you're looking at your list of podcasts that you subscribe to in iTunes, that nice little listing where it shows the name of the podcast, and then you click it to expand it down and it shows you all the episodes, all the way to the far right where it has the description.
For each episode, there's a little letter I.
Yes, thank you. I'm struggling right now with getting the words out from my brain. When you click that I, everything that we put into the Podbean, the blog entry for that episode, shows up in there. Yeah. And it even gives you all the links, and a lot of the times the links come through as hyperlinks that can be clicked.
Yeah, it's usually always hyperlinked. Mm-hmm. And then I always try to put a link at the top for the iTunes listeners to the blog entry for Podbean. So if you click that, you can look at all the pictures that I posted with the episode.
Mm-hmm. And there's also a banner link on the Podbean site that has a lot of our Flickr photos that we take when we go someplace. Now, we've had some people ask, you know, where are all the photos? They're on Flickr. We have a limited amount of space on Podbean, and when we upload photos with the podcast, we take away from space that we could use to put up podcasts. So we try to limit how much photo content we put up just to make sure we don't run out.
Yeah.
But you can always go to our Flickr account, and the link's right there, and you could take a look at... We always take pictures of the food. Sometimes we get and we eat the food
Sometimes
first.
There's a couple bites taken out of
yes.
it. But that, rest assured, that was us.
But there's always pictures of the food. We try to get pictures of the restaurant and anything else that we find unique about the restaurant. So we just wanted to make sure everybody knew what content was out there, and you're not listening to us say, yeah, we'll put that up on the site, and then you're not sure where to go to get it, or do I really have to go to Podbean to get it? No, we put it up. It's there on iTunes. You just have to know where to go. So, okay. I feel better now that I got that off my chest.
All right.
This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Zwei Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed the Zwei Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on MySpace and or Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. Please email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends, but please make sure that credit is given. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a great day.